And take your Bibles and turn to now to Psalm 100. And we'll look a little more in depth at this psalm. Thanksgiving is my favorite season of the year. I try to like to hang on to it a little longer. So a sermon on thankfulness last week, Thursday, and then today. And I think it's good because we're entering a difficult time of the year, culturally speaking. Thanksgiving, we meet in our homes and community centers and church to give thanks to the Lord in response to the president's encouragement to offer prayers of thanks to God. And now, everything shifts towards Christmas. So Thursday ends, stores begin to open even by Thursday evening, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. I worry that at some time the Lord's Day is going to get lost today to some other commercial. I don't know what word you'd come up for it. I hope they don't. So I hope we can take a break in the middle of all that to rest. But we begin to look towards Christmas, and for some it's a celebration of the incarnation, the coming of the Son of God into the world. For others, it's about parties, it's about the commercial activity, their business, their retail business will finally get into the black for the year. So it's a mixed time. And then we have the sort of the crisis. How do you greet people between now and New Year's? Do you wish them season's greetings? I don't even know what that means. You can hear that maybe as you will. Do we wish people happy holidays? Do we actually say Merry Christmas? That's usually accompanied with some kind of conflict or discussion about the new Starbucks holiday cup. I haven't heard anything about that this year, but in the past that has caused a little stir. See, Americans, it seems, are quite content to accept national references to God as long as they are generic. God. Christians can talk about God. Muslims can talk about God. Jews can talk about God. Others talk about God. We seem to be a bit, we're happy with that. We're content with that. We get quickly, though, into difficulty if we dare name him. That becomes the stumbling block. That becomes the issue. But as Christians, we must name him. We cannot ever become comfortable with some level of tolerance or any form of pluralism which silences the declaration of Psalm 100. And this is what the psalmist says. We've already sung it, and we will sing it again at the end of the service. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. And if you'll notice in your Bible, it's L-O-R-D, all in capitals. So that is, make a joyful noise to Yahweh, all the earth. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that Yahweh, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For Yahweh is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100 is not shy about naming God. Know that this one, the Lord, Yahweh, he is God. And this is an important reminder for God's people, particularly in the Old Testament. At various points in Israel's history, the people of God were faced with the need to confirm their loyalty and their commitment. You might think of it as a renewing of the covenant. Some people do that with their wedding vows. They renew their vows from time to time to remind themselves their commitment. Well, so we find that in Israel's history. So in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua says this to Israel in verse 15, "If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, to serve Yahweh, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve Yahweh, the God of the covenant. So he puts that question to them. Choose whom you will serve. Elijah does it again in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord, Yahweh, is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Choose. If the Lord is God, serve him. If not, serve somebody else. Jesus with his disciples. Who do people say I am? And then he makes it very personal. Who do you say I am? And we need to answer that question. Who do we say? Who do you say is God? Who is your Lord? Who is your Maker? Who is your King? Who is your Governor? We have to put this question not only to ourselves, but also to the culture, like Joshua did, like Elijah did. Who is God? So we answered ourselves. We put the question to the culture. We also need to prepare our children to answer this question, no matter what the cost, because the answer can be costly. It may mean your job. It might mean your livelihood. It might mean your freedom. It might mean your resources. It might mean your life. Throughout history, people have laid down their lives for this confession. But who is God? And Psalm 100 makes the answer quite clear. The Lord. He is God. And the psalm opens with a call to raise a shout to this Lord. Make a joyful noise, all the earth. It's really to raise a shout. It's a shout of triumph or acclaim that would be hailing the king. When Samuel introduced Saul as the king, Samuel says, "Do you see him? Whom the Lord has chosen, that is Yahweh, there is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted, "Long live the king." That's not our habit, particularly in church. We don't do a lot of shouting in church. John's trying to help us, but we don't just do much shouting in church. Paul in Ephesus, a riot breaks out. And for 2 hours, the people clamor and shout, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." They were naming their God. For 2 hours, they shouted that. But that's the sense here. I heard a pastor from Australia talk about this. He said, making that rousing cheer, it's like being at a football game. That's the sense here. But we don't do that here. I don't know why. It's not our cultural comfort. But maybe we should learn to do that. To raise a rousing cheer to our God, because He is the Lord. It's the shout of the army when the ark in 1 Samuel 4 is brought into the Israelite camp. And they think that that's going to bring them victory, and they shout. And the enemy army hears them, and they get a little nervous. It's the shout of the temple cornerstone being laid in Ezra chapter 3. It's the second temple. It's being rebuilt. And there's this great shout, and it's heard a long way off. This is the sense here. Long live the king. And you'll notice that it's a universal call. It's issued to the entire world. Shout. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come to Him. Know He is God. And this call is sounded in the expectation of the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. And that the knowledge of this God would fill the earth. That's the hope here. That's the expectation. It's the anticipation of the Great Commission. Make disciples of all the nations. So all the nations will come to shout to this God, the only God. To Him raise this rousing cheer. It'll lead ultimately to the universal acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 45. I want to show you two connections. Well, I guess one connection. Isaiah 45, verse 18. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Now drop down to verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Now turn to Philippians in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It's on page 1248. Paul quotes Isaiah, and he applies it to Jesus. Verse 9, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we sing Psalm 100, the declaration is, know that Jesus is God. We raise a shout to Him. There is no other Lord. There is no other God. Revealed in the Old Testament as Yahweh, revealed in the New Testament as the Savior, Lord Jesus. So the question then is this your confession? Is Psalm 100 your confession? Have you yourself acknowledged the ascendancy of Jesus? Have you acknowledged His lordship in your life? Psalmist says, know that the Lord, He is God. Know that Jesus is God. Do you? Is He your Savior and Lord and King? Do you show this with glad service? Serve the Lord with gladness. Do you? Do we together? Is our work done with gladness? Some people drag into Monday, and they drag into Tuesday, and they long for Friday because the work week is done. And I have often quoted my mechanic from Maryland, it is Monday. I have all week to excel. Do you view Monday like that? You serve the Lord with gladness in whatever calling that may be. And that might be service in some pretty dark and tough places. But do you serve Him with gladness? It is likely that we have all been to a restaurant where the wait staff is less than pleasant or is inattentive. And you're not too impressed. And maybe your tip will reflect the fact that you're not very impressed. Is that how God views our work and our service? Are we inattentive? Are we less than pleasant? He says, serve Him with gladness. Serve Him with joy. Come to worship, the psalmist says, with singing. See, these motivate each other. We sing here, and it should send us empowered into our work. And then we come out of our work empowered for our worship. I trust that our worship service together on the Lord's Day is just that. It's empowering for the next 6 days. And then as you look back over the 6 days, you come in on the Lord's Day thinking what great things God has done. And it becomes this, well, we pick up momentum. It becomes like a flywheel. We start moving ahead. The opposite of that, of course, is a doom loop. You drag in here out of your work, and you've got nothing for worship, and you find worship to be just dry and empty, and it ends up sending you into the week worse off than you came in. That's bad. But he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know He is God. See, joy comes when we acknowledge the Lord. Joy comes when we acknowledge that the covenant God is the true God over all the earth. Joy comes when we live in accordance with our design, and our design is to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. And we find that joy when we do just that, when that is our perspective. When Joshua is ready to take the land of Canaan, they sent some spies into the land. And a couple of those spies got to Jericho, and they found a place to stay with Rahab. And she said this, "There is no other God..." Well, rather, she said, "As we have heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God, in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." She understood the reality of this. She said, in fact, all of us know the reality of this, that your God is God, and we're in deep trouble. First, Jericho and the others fought against that. Rahab adopted that, and she was saved. She said, "I'm going to realign my life in face of that reality. Your God is God. Your Lord is God. I need to realign my life." Maybe you need to as well. to realign your life in line with what is true. That the Lord, He is God. There is no other. The God of the Bible is the true God. The God of the Bible is the Creator. We owe Him allegiance and deference because He made us. Notice that in verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. You can look at the footnote, and not we ourselves. He made us, and so we belong to Him. Or the psalmist is saying, He made us, and we didn't make ourselves. In the Hebrew, the to Him or the not sound the same. So this is when people are writing things down, they hear it, and they write down what they heard. Well, you get slightly two different meanings depending on what you heard. We sang Psalm 100, selection C, with one translation. We'll sing 100A at the end with the other translation. They're both accurate, and they both really point to the same thing. We're created. And on the one hand, we certainly didn't create ourselves. That is true. And on the other hand, though, we are not the product of time and chance. We've been created, and so we belong to the Creator. And as those who have been created, we have purpose. And again, our joy comes in living out that purpose. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It also tells us we are dependent. He sets the rules for life. How we're to live, how we're to act in relationships, how we're to live out our vocation. And again, our joy comes living within that context. You're driving down the road, you're quite happy to have your car on the road. It's where it's designed to be. The guardrail is a warning. On the other side of that guardrail is a place your car should not go. We often try to take our car, our life, beyond the guardrail. We think, oh, it's so beautiful. Well, it is beautiful. Colorado is beautiful. You go over the guardrail, well, look, because it's a beautiful view. Might be the last thing you see. We are happiest when we are where God intends us to be, living how He wants us to live. By grace, the psalmist says here, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Think Psalm 23. He leads us and guides us. He cares for us. He feeds and protects for His name's sake. So know today that He is God. Give yourself to Him. If He is God, serve Him. If someone else is God, serve them. But choose today. But then verse 4, the invitation is repeated. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. This whole psalm is described as one for giving thanks. A psalm for giving thanks. Is this your habit? Are you a thankful person? Does God know you're thankful? Does your family know that you are thankful? Do your coworkers know you are thankful? Is this your perspective on life? A life lived out with thanks and with gratitude. And if you need reasons to be thankful, particularly to God, you get them right here. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. He is reliable. And we experience His goodness in daily life. He sustains us. But what what's more is we have experienced his love and his grace in salvation because he is the Savior. I skipped over part of Isaiah 45, where in verse 21, the Lord says, "There is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Come to him. Rest in him. Is this one your God? Is he your shepherd? Is he your hope? We only come sola gratia, by grace. The Father has opened the way by offering his only Son as an atoning sacrifice. So we enter then his presence through Jesus. We need no more reasons than that to give thanks and bless his name. And yet he has multiplied his blessings beyond that. Do you know this love? Have you experienced the love of God in Christ Jesus? Because he offers it. Today and right now, in the midst of our need, he offers it. In the works of creation and providence, and most clearly in the work of redemption, God reveals his nature to us. He is full of goodness and loving kindness. I don't know how you think of God. Some think of him as a stern taskmaster. I hope that is not how you view God. He is full of goodness and loving kindness and faithfulness. In fact, this is his name. Exodus 34, he pronounces his name. The Lord God, gracious, abounding in loving kindness. He's forgiving. And this is his glory. We find in the New Testament that God is love. He is love. And this means forgiveness for us. For all who do as this psalm invites, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence, know that he is God, enter his gates with thanksgiving, give thanks to him, bless his name. Do these things by faith. Our God is good. He is ever loving. He is caring and kind. And because of his redemptive work, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to Jesus, whom you can trust with your life and your eternal destiny. To what today are you entrusting your soul? Will you entrust it to him? He's been given all authority. You can trust him in every circumstance. And knowing that inspires then a heart of gratitude and moves us to thanksgiving. There is no reason to be afraid. What can mankind do to us? The Lord, he is God. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. There is no other. There is no other Savior. He has words of eternal life. And he says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Embrace Jesus. Honor him as Lord. Serve him with gladness. Come to Him with singing. Thank Him. Praise Him. And know His love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your revelation of Your love in Jesus Christ. How awesome is that love? You've offered Jesus as an atoning sacrifice to redeem us from our sins. And today we say thank You. Today we do know that You, Lord, are God. And there is no other. And we are those who follow You, Lord Jesus Christ. Because all authority is Yours. And we are thankful for what You have done. We are thankful for Your administration. And even in the midst of the times when we're not exactly sure what You're doing, when it doesn't seem to be working well for us, when we are in trouble, we need to thank You even more because Your governance is perfect. And You will glorify Your name. And in our weakness and in our trouble, then You are most glorified. Because in our weakness, then You are strong. And so today, Lord, we say, yes, You are our Lord. We are the sheep of Your pasture. You have made us. We are Yours. Do with us as You will. And we will give You all of the thanks and the glory, now and forever.